Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 43 in our teaching series, The Third Side in the Clash of Three Kingdoms, titled Chaos and the Fool. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
Well, good morning. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Some people say, well, Alan, this isn't the house of the Lord, but just allow me to be a little old-fashioned. I think it's the house of the Lord. That's where God's people get together. And it's been a place that's been dedicated and set aside for us to meet with each other and the Lord. So if it's all right with you, I'll call it the Lord's house. Well, as we are moving forward in our study of the book of Proverbs, I was trying to find a topic as I was moving forward and understanding Proverbs that would be uplifting and kind of get our happy bone going just a little bit. And well, I'm here to report to you, I failed. Oh my, no, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. You can see my title is Chaos and the Fool, so you can take your pick of which one you want to be in. And Proverbs speaks, if you get over into Proverbs, it basically speaks of a wise person, and the fool is what it speaks to. And I've been more of the latter than I had the former, I'm probably afraid to say. But chaos and the fool. And why have I got chaos and the fool? It's because the book of Proverbs is, wisdom is always speaking into chaos. And I want us to consider the chaos totally today, every morning that we get up. I mean, life is different. This is not the same world we were in a year ago. This is not the same. This is not the same world. And the person you were last year is not going to work for the person you need to be this year or the person you need to be for next year. Last year's person's not going to work in this coming year. And but now, really and truly, that's good news. But it's not a good place for a Christian full of pride or stubbornness or lazy to live. Because a Christian today has to constantly be moving and growing in the things of God to go into these places that we find ourselves in, whether we want to be or not. So with that in mind, I've got chaos and the fool. I got this one little story here about an old quilt that kind of relates to this topic or this idea of chaos and the fool. And a fool is probably what you think it is, but chaos probably isn't. A fool is a fool, but chaos is different. And the way we view chaos, I want us to view chaos from a biblical, more of a proverb, wisdom type way to view chaos. And what is God doing? What's he doing with us? What is the whole part of this teaching is to relate to what's going on in the world around us. Why are these things happening? What is going on? I'm trying to not sugarcoat it. I'm trying to be honest and truthful and saying, here's where we are. And we are in a chaotic world today, more so than it's ever been. But let's read this little story and consider what we view as chaos. Put it this way, chaos has a purpose. Or chaos can be a purpose. Now, with this in mind, let's look at this little story here. As I faced my Maker at the Last Judgment, I knelt before the Lord, along with the other souls, before each of us laid our lives like the squares of a quilt in many piles. This is a story of someone standing before the Lord in the end of this journey. An angel sat before each of us, sewing our quilt squares together in a tapestry that was our life. But as my angel took each piece of cloth off the pile, I noticed how ragged and empty each of my squares were. They were filled with giant holes. Each square was labeled with a part of my life that had been difficult, the challenges and the temptations I was faced with in everyday life. I saw hardships that I had endured, which were the largest holes of them all. Anybody got a witness? I glanced around me. Nobody else had such squares. Others had a tiny hole here and there. Other tapestries were filled with rich color in the bright hues of worldly fortune. I gazed upon my own life and was disheartened. My angel was sewing the ragged pieces of cloth together, threadbare and empty, like binding air. Finally, the time came when each life was to be displayed, held up to the light and the scrutiny of the truth. The others rose, each in turn, holding up their tapestries, so filled their lives had been. My angel looked upon me and nodded for me to rise. My gaze dropped to the ground in shame. I hadn't had all the earthly fortunes. I had love in my life and laughter, but there had also been trials of illness, death, false accusations that took from me my world as I knew it. I had to start over many times. I often struggled with the temptation to quit, only to somehow muster the strength to pick up and begin again. I had spent many nights on my knees in prayer, asking for help and guidance in my life. I had often been held up to ridicule, which I endured painfully, each time offering up to the Father in hopes that I would not melt within my skin beneath the judgmental gaze of those who unfairly judged me. And now I had to face the truth. My life was, and I had to accept it for what it had been. I rose and slowly lifted my combined squares of my life to the light, and gasps filled the air. I gazed around at the others who stared at me with my eyes wide open. Then I looked upon the tapestry before me. Light flooded through the many holes, creating an image, the face of Christ. Then our Lord stood before me with warmth and love in his eyes. He said, "Every time you gave your life to me, it became my life, my hardships and my struggles. Each point of light in your life is when you stepped aside and let me shine through. Until there was more of me than there was of you, welcome home, my child." Amen. So we see that the chaos, the struggles, the hardships, how do we view them? What are we supposed to do with these chaotic times? What in the world is God thinking when he give us life? And you know, the way we tend to judge success in life is, I have no chaos. My life is perfect. Everything around my world that I've created is in order, and there's nothing wrong. Everything is perfect. And then there's times in life we just have these situations. It seems like this chaos comes in. Now, keep this in mind as we try to move forward in Proverbs. I did title this Chaos and the Fool. Chaos being the world in which a Christian lives. Or we can be a fool and try to escape the chaos, or better yet, fix the chaos with our own mind. Now, watch this. This teaching's about staying fully alive in a world of chaos. Is anybody interested? Staying alive in a world full of chaos. The world that we knew has collapsed. Has anybody noticed that? 2 years ago, we lived in a world and we thought we had problems, but now we've woken up to a world that's different. This is not the same world as it was 2 years ago, or maybe two and a half. And I can tell in my conversations with people, everyone's longing for the day that we return to how it was. But I'm sure you know the further away from how it was, the less likely it is that we will return. Since we find ourselves, you know, it's amazing how we had everything in a certain order. And we created our own little gardens, I guess, if you will, of perfection. And we had to ask ourselves today this question. I just threw these up. Here's a few of them. There's many more. But the world we have known has collapsed. We ask ourselves today, all right, who am I? Because we all feel just a little bit out of kilter here. Who am I? What is going on? Where am I? Am I in a safe place? Is the United States now a safe place? Is it not a safe place? So you see how where we are now, we're not quite as sure of it as we were. For instance, if you're in a situation, let's say that your spouse has cheated on you. I'll take a bad situation. Your spouse has cheated on you. Your world was built around trust. Instead of a home, you find that you have a house. Instead of someone you can trust, you find yourself living with a stranger. Of all of your memories that you put in your mind, they were memories of absolute harmony, absolute trust, absolute safety, only to find, I guess all of that wasn't true. Wasn't so. That's kind of what's happened to us in the last 2 years. We were in the United States. We had Christian moral values. We knew that they were being challenged, but still yet we felt like we were a Christian nation. We felt like we had safety. Sin was sin. Things that were vulgar were called vulgar. And now we find ourselves in a waking up, but this is not a home. It's a house. We find ourselves like we don't know anybody. Who is this that we're living with? I'm just explaining to you what happens when chaos is operating. It shatters everything that's absolute in your life. That's the kind of chaos I'm speaking about. It shatters something in your life that you feel like was in order at one time and very safe. Then we have to ask ourselves, where am I going? Where are we today? And as a church, as God's people, all right, where are we going? And it's amazing that even people we love, people we trust, perhaps something like an affair with a spouse isn't happening, but we do feel like that our government and people we trust are having an affair on us. You know what I'm saying? We feel like we've been betrayed. And so we have to ask ourselves, where are we going? And that's the reason I titled this teaching, is it chaos versus the fool? Now, as Christians, the reality of our choices that's set before us is, number one, we can be honest and real. This is chaotic times. Or we can be as the fool, right, and act like everything's great, nothing's wrong. If we're going to hit the chaos head on as a Christian, we have to take God's word and move forward. I just put this up here. I figured you know what it means. There's always a snake in the garden. You know, we got the story, of course, of Adam and Eve in the garden. And have you noticed in life there's always a snake in the garden? You like to have a garden that there's not one, but there's just always one there. There's always a snake. In other words, we can build our lives like the garden, and it's beautiful, and everything's here that we need there for life, and there's no problems, and everything's just fine. But we, as believers, we got to understand God was telling us something in Genesis. And what he was telling us is there's always a snake in the garden. So we say, okay, I understand now. I'm not quite as disappointed as I was because I thought my life was perfect. I thought I had everything just right. What God was introducing us to is there's always going to be chaos. There's always going to be a snake in the garden. There's always going to be something that sticks its head up at an inappropriate time to entice us, to draw us away from God. There's always going to be something. And so as I look in all the chaos that's around us today, I'm understanding that these are great distractions to pull me away from God. Great distractions to pull me away from God. Now, the book of Proverbs is about a life in a world full of chaos and how wisdom leads us into the chaos. Let's watch it here. Genesis 1, you know how it is. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. It's just a few verses in the beginning of the scriptures. But if you look at this in Hebrew, it says that God created all this out of chaos. The term, the word there is chaos. And so God went out there in nothing, stepped on nothing, and created something. And so, but it was all chaotic. It says it was just all in chaos. And so we learned that God opened up his word with the creation of something being created out of chaos. Then he creates man, and then we find ourselves in this world full of chaos. God created the whole worlds out of chaos. So, you know, it might burst your bubble a little bit. God didn't create you to make you healthy and just, no, well, yeah, I'm going to use the word healthy. That's a bad term, bad word. To make you happy is what I was looking for. To make you happy. God hasn't created us, and he's not going around being like a genie in a bottle trying to make us all real happy. We find ourselves in a world of chaos, and it's getting more chaotic all the time. So it appears to me that I've got to get myself into a mindset, into a spiritual mindset, that I'm not the world's not getting less chaotic, it's getting more chaotic, which means we have greater opportunity for creation. Now, it's getting a little tougher, isn't it? You're saying, God, you got to be kidding me. But the whole spiritual mindset, and that's where Proverbs comes in. It's speaking wisdom into times of chaos. And that wisdom takes what was chaos and puts it into a creative gear, a creative mode. So even though we find ourselves in great chaos, let me put it to you like this also. It should not, wow, I could get myself hung here. It should not bother us that the Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, is challenged. It should not bother us. It shouldn't bother us. It shouldn't bother us that the Bible is challenged. Don't get all ruffled up when it's challenged. Just get upset when no one rises to the occasion of the challenge. For instance, what's this guy's name? Rittenhouse or Riddlehouse? Or what's that boy's name that shot those two guys? Riddlehouse? Rittenhouse, that's it. And I heard a commentary, and they were arguing back and forth how they couldn't believe the prosecution said what they said and all this. And I'm like, wait a minute. The way our court system works is the truth should withstand any criticism. Can you hear me, church? The truth should withstand any criticism. The only way the Word of God will not withstand criticism is when you change it. our constitution, our all of our documents. They don't quote Bible in them, but they all came out of the Bible. Just don't change them. Can you hear me? Just don't change them. Don't change the Bible. Don't change our Constitution. Just don't change it. Challenge it if you will. That's all right. We should be up for a good challenge. Just like in that trial, the prosecution challenged. Well, that's okay. Why? Because in our system, the truth's supposed to stand. Can somebody hear me? It's more about the truth than it is trying to extinguish the challenge. Truth will withstand challenge. But it has to be presented. And somebody has to stand up. That's all. So in this chaos, what is the mood, or what is our chaos is, I'm not worried about the truth being challenged. I'm not worried about the Word of God being challenged. I'm not worried about our Constitution being challenged. What I'm worried about is somebody trying to change it. So what you're going to find as we move forward, our place of battle is over changing the Word of God, number one, and changing our Constitution over the land, number two. If you don't change them, they'll stand. They'll take any battle you got. Just don't change it. Why? Because it's been inspired by God. My Bible tells me the truth always. It'll stand. Now, don't get upset with the challenge. A prosecutor's supposed to challenge. You say, yeah, but it didn't sound like it was true. I don't care. They're supposed to challenge it. I don't care if the world challenges our Bible every way you can challenge it. We're not looking for the world to agree with us. They're going to challenge it. Well, just praise God, go get you some. The question is there anybody to stand up with the Word of God and accept the challenge? That's our problem. And if we don't stand up about the Word of God, about our Constitution, others are going to change it. Change it into a non-truth and it'll fall. The place of impasse, don't change it. You mark down these words that I say. The big battle coming in front of us in the years to come is to change the Constitution and change the Word of God. There's two things. That's your challenge. If you want to fight somewhere, just fight. You can't change it. That's where your fight's at. But there again, we've got to understand, are we going to, do you believe the Word of God is true? Why do you think it's still here? Because it's true. It doesn't bother me when an atheist challenges it or something. Well, I mean, that's, if they want to be a prosecutor, do your job. Do it good. The question is, do I know it good and well enough that I can present it in a way that the truth will stand? It takes integrity. The Word of God, and I like to throw in our Constitution. I've been reading it a lot lately, and it's, I'm like, wow. You know, this could have been almost a book in the Bible. And people say, well, it wasn't. I'm like, my land, it's the whole thing's Bible. That's the reason it stood, and that's the reason I knew without a shadow of a doubt. That's the challenge. It's going to try to be changed. Just don't let it be changed. So that's what happened there. God created out of chaos. So we want to accept the chaos. Don't get worried. Don't get your feathers ruffled. When people challenge it, don't get your feathers ruffled. It's okay. That's what prosecutors do. We're not looking for a world with no prosecutors. The Word of God has to be challenged and it can be proven true. be proven so, it'll stand. A tree grows out of its past. What do I mean by that? All right, you have a little tree and it grows up, and then it grows up into a big tree, and seasons change, the leaves fall, limbs break off and they fall. And when a tree goes through fall into winter, it goes into a dormant state. It goes through what in some classes they call an order of chaos of nature. It goes through a cycle of dropping its leaves and its limbs, some of them break as it grows taller. Well, what we find out is the chaos of the tree is of its past is the growth of its new year. The leaves and all that stuff falls to the ground, it rots. I'm pretty good on stuff rotting in compost. That's my forte. I understand all that and the microbes and how it works. Well, that chaos is what feeds the growth of the tree for the next year and the next year and the next year. So the chaos that you find yourself in personally, in relationships, and nationally is made to grow us up this next year. Hope you can hear that. Some of you can say, well, Alan, you don't understand my chaos. Thing I can tell you, you got a lot of growth. It's according if you're going to be a fool about your chaos or if you're going to be a believer within your chaos. God's word works. It's real. It's our choice. We're going to be the fool or are we going to hit our chaos? A tree grows out of its past. And I just want you to understand the cycle of life, I'll call it. This is the cycle of life. You grow and then you have chaos. I mean, how many's had any? I've had vacations from chaos. I hadn't had no chaos. I've had little short interim times. Am I the only bad person in here? If some of you are young enough, you maybe don't have any physical chaos yet, but just give it enough time. That's not prophesying over you. I'm just telling you the cycles of life, okay? And that's what happens with a lot of chaos. It's to grow us into our next part of the cycle of life. You understand this, I know. A seed must die to grow. So you all understand that concept. And with the tree, as the seed is dying, so is the growth. So the chaos, what it does, it stretches us, it matures us, and we're to hit it head on. And as we hit it head on with the Word of God, it'll fall down, and it will be fertilizer for the next part of our season. Chaos is one part of the life cycle. Out of breakdown comes buildup. Are you with me? Anybody had a breakdown lately? You thought it was going to kill you, didn't you? But you're still here. I understand. I've had quite a few in my life. Didn't think I'd live through them, but I did. Well, no, I didn't. I died. And what we say there is out of breakdown comes buildup. So, listen, church, all of this chaos out there, we're in a season of huge breakdown. A lot of stuff's breaking down. A lot of stuff is breaking down. But this is our opportunity for buildup. I think I maybe put this in. If you go to a gym, you know how it works. You break down your muscles. And when you break down your muscles, what happens? Next time you can lift up more weight. Are you with me? So what happens? With breakdown comes build up. It's just the life cycle. It's the way this thing works. God took chaos and created the worlds and the universe. It's the way it works. We're created in His image. He wants us to catch it, to catch on to what's going on. It's where wisdom comes in. You do not have to judge chaos. Now, this is kind of important. Just observe it. You can say, and we all say this, nothing is going right. Anybody ever said that? And then I put last year's version of you will not work in a new year. A lot of us say, nothing's going right. I'm just messing up everything. See, what you're doing is you're judging your chaos. Now, come on, go with me here. Well, everything I'm touching is just going to pieces. Pat, there's nothing's right. Nothing's working right. What you've done is you've judged the chaos. Chaos will not build you up if you judge it. I can judge all this chaos around me if I want to. I can get real emotional about it. Or I can look at it head on with the Word of God because I know it's going to stand and I can hit it head on. Listen, if you've got to get bent out of the frame and all emotional, you're judging it. That's right. I know you'd like that one. If you have to get all emotional and just tore out of the frame because of the chaos, that means you're probably judging it. I'm not going to say you can't be sad because of the chaos. But there's a judgmental side of the chaos when we experience. If God had judged the chaos, God, He stepped out on nothing and said, boy, this sure is a mess. So I think I'll clean up a little bit. He created the universe. God didn't get bent out of the frame because of all the chaos. He said, no, it's an opportunity to create. We're not quite catching that. I know we're not. Now, I'm saying it, but I know we're not quite catching it. Chaos is, that's just not a little phrase, it's the truth, is the opportunity to create. Do not have to judge chaos, just observe it. You see what's going on, you make an observation, okay. This thing's a mess, right? Usually when the mood kicks in and we're all bent out of the frame, it's because you didn't deal with the chaos sooner. You missed a good place to say amen. When we put off hitting the chaos head on, we end up getting all emotional about it. We should have already dealt with it. When you deal with chaos quickly, it'll keep your emotions out of it. And I'm going to show that one to you. I can tell you like that one. Okay. Isaiah 11, 1 through 3. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch that grows out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom. See that? Understanding. Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Anybody see that? He's talking about the Lord, which is our example. He's not kidding. Very, very serious. With all the chaos that's going on in our country today, somebody needs to keep their head. Somebody doesn't need to act stupid. You don't need to get real mean or real violent or just whatever. Got to be smart. We got the truth. We got the truth. We just got to carry the truth. We got the truth. Back when I started milking cows, I was 18 years old and never milked a cow in my life. Didn't know what to do. Had no idea. I didn't know what end to stick a milker on, but that's all I knew. And so I bought 27 cows off of this old farmer in Harmony. Had a little milk barn, had one cow on each side. So I went there, and I bought his cows. Well, I had to milk in his barn for 3 months before I got mine finished. And in the meantime, had several young, we call them heifers. A heifer had a calf that I bought from him. That's a first year cow. Had her first calf, and I was trying to get her in that little milk barn. Trying to get her to go through that door, that heifer. I couldn't get that heifer through that door. I got a 2x4 and popped her hiney real good. Several things. And the old farmer was sitting on a 5-gallon bucket. And after a little bit, he said, hey, son, come here a minute. Now, let me talk to you. And I was right aggravated. My mood had already changed. And I went over there to him, and he said, now, sit down here. And I sat down. He said, now, that heifer weighs 1,200, 1,400 pounds. She's pretty good size. said, "The way I look at it, you weigh about 150 pounds. He said, "Now you need to do the math. You're not going to push that cow in that barn." He said, "Your only hope of getting that cow in that barn is you're going to be smarter than that cow." And he said, "So far, you're not convincing me." I've never forgot that little lesson. He got a little old bucket of feed and carried it up there and set it right inside the door, and he poured a little bit on the ground. The cow said, started licking it. None of it was moving fast enough for me. And he kept doing it and had a little bit. The little heifer walked right in the barn. He came back and sat down and said, "Well, there you go. See, if you need to know anything else, just give me a holler." And I did. As Christians, the dark side, the devil himself, is bigger than we are. But he's not bigger than Christ. The only thing the Lord's asking us to do, be smarter than the devil. Be smarter than what's going on. You don't have to get so emotionally distraught. The only time we're getting emotionally distraught is when we're not doing what we need to be doing. We've got to keep our head. We've got to be smarter than that heifer. It's bigger than us, weighs more than we do. We can't push him around, but we can be smarter. That's what the book of Proverbs is saying in using wisdom. And in our lives, once you get a mood change, most wisdom goes out the door. Just listen to me. Once you get a mood change, or you say, "Well, I've had it." Well, your mood changed. You want to hit the chaos. You want to take care of it. What do you mean you've had it? Has anybody ever said, "I've had it"? I mean, what do you do after you've had it? I mean, I've done it quite a few times. I've had it, and I'm like, "Well, what do I do now? I've had it." You still got to get the heifer in the barn. I don't care if you have had it, right? So we don't have to get to that point of judgment's my point. A point of judgment stops wisdom. Wisdom's always dealing with the chaos. Let me tell you something about wisdom. Wisdom is a poor loser because it never stops. Might back up and pump, but it won't stop. Never stops. Wisdom never stops until the goal is accomplished. Hard part for us is to keep our emotional moods out of it. Jesus is showing us here. Don't judge it. Don't judge your situation. The chaos. Well, nothing's going right. That chaos will make you a better person if you will make your observation correctly. God will give you wisdom to fix it and just do it. When your emotions break, you get emotionally involved, the wisdom stops. Jesus says it here. He didn't judge it by the sight of the eye nor the hearing of the ear. He's given us the pointer here. That's a distraction. It doesn't work that way. Subjective versus objective. I just kind of put this one in here. Subjective is all about me, or emotional. In other words, if I'm being subjective about a crisis or a situation, all of a sudden it's all about me. That's a dead giveaway. When it's all about you, you're going to judge it. Well, I've been mistreated. Well, I've been this. Well, I've been that. I mean, you can judge yourself against yourself. Well, I can't believe I'm so stupid. All that's not necessary. You went into a mood. You went into an emotional swing. And wisdom stops. You're in a chaos, in a crisis, and wisdom wants to tell you how you motivate through it and you overcome it, because wisdom doesn't lose. Wisdom always wins. Subjective means it's all about me, and it gets emotional. You do not have to go into a mood. Everybody's been given permission. You don't have to have a mood about having chaos. Objective is about observing the chaos or the situation and using wisdom in your reaction. The only thing I'm showing you is what stops the wisdom from flowing in a believer. Now, believe it or not, we can be mature Christians and allow wisdom to come forth and not our emotion. Because then you're trying to get, and I'm bigger than that cow. But you're not. You're in an illusion or delusion or something. That's a big cow. Wisdom will be revealed when we do not judge a situation. Proverbs 2. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Sound brings order to chaos. Now, it's a spiritual law. That's everything I've told you up this point about your mood, how we react. I wish I had a video I could show you there. It was a science project, but this teacher had a table, square table, and put some of you maybe seen it before. He put sprinkled salt on it, or maybe it was sand. And it was just a fine granular, and he just shook it all over the table, and it was. He called that chaos, and then he took wasn't a tuning fork, but it was something that he could roll over it, and it would make a certain vibration. So he just rolled that over it, you know. And all of a sudden, all of that sand or salt there, which all of a sudden it started forming like a kaleidoscope. You know what a kaleidoscope is? All of these different. Then he got another tuner. It was a little bigger or smaller roller. I forget which it was. And he started rolling it over. Well, then it all changed its form, but it was all in perfect order. Now, that's the science, but there's a spiritual science. You got to understand, all of that's true. But your sound can bring order to chaos. What you say, how you say it, brings order to chaos. It's a spiritual phenomena. If you walk in a room and someone else gets angry at you because they feel like their presence has been diminished, somebody's got a problem. Here's my point. If you come in a room and your sound is a sound of order, it will affect all chaos that's in the room. They'll feel it. They'll know it. But it's important. You maybe you can even be attacked verbally. But you got to see this. As Christians, as believers, as we live and walk in the Spirit of God, we put off a sound. That anytime we're around chaos, it's going to start bringing order to it. It just affects it. That's all. That's the reason I'm saying as believers, we can't go around in a mood. Because it kills our spiritual vibration to bring order to a chaotic situation. Are you with me? I hope I'm conveying what I'm trying to convey. So sound brings order out of chaos. Our speech is inseparable from order and chaos. Our speech, how we talk, has everything to do with hitting chaos head on. The following proverbs link types of people to types of speech. Proverbs 15:2. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. There again, I've done both of those. Probably more the latter than the former. But still, that's the truth. It's your speech, it's your tongue. Produces a spiritual vibration that brings order into chaos. Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Did anybody see the heart of the righteous studieth to answer? Why does the heart of the righteous study to answer? It's because you're waiting on the wisdom to come forth. Can you see that? That's what the book of Proverbs is about. You're waiting on that wisdom. Wisdom is the sound that brings order out of chaos. Good speech in Proverbs is called wise speech. Proverbs 10:13. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. Proverbs 10:31. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom. See that? But the froward tongue shall be cut out. Our speech affects our relationship with the Lord. I hope you're seeing the picture of this chaos and being a fool. Why do we not want to judge chaos? Because we don't want to get into some funky mood. We want to be able to observe and not judge. You didn't realize all of that has everything to do with your relationship to the Lord. We don't go around acting like a fool all the time, then say, oh yeah, God, let me talk. It didn't work that way. Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. Anybody see that? Listen, Proverbs is not kidding. This is not a joke. This is real stuff. How we talk, what we say, what our mood is in the middle of chaos, in any situation, has everything to do with our relationship to the Lord. How many want to walk in the Spirit? We have to consider the vibration of our sound, of our speech. I want wisdom to come to this house in a greater way. But the only thing I can give you is a report of the Word of the Lord. I know it's true. I know what I've said to you is true. If you would, just stand with me. Test what I've said. If I've said anything that's not true, Lord Jesus, I ask and pray that it fall to the ground. But Lord God, if I've said what I said is true, I pray that it'll go to this group of people, those watching online. I pray, oh God, teach us, help us, oh God, to be able to hit any crisis head on. Help us, oh God, to understand that our moods are an indicator to us if we're judging a situation. Help us, oh God, to speak Your word, Your will, Your truth, that Your word might stand. I pray, oh God, for the Constitution of this United States right now. I pray, oh God, that there's nothing that can come against it that'll prosper. For this document has been placed there, I believe, oh God, by You and Your Spirit. I ask and pray, oh God, for You and these people. I prophesy that not a word of that Constitution will be changed. Just as not a word of Your Bible will be changed. That this people will be found as a people who stands for both. That we'll rise up, we'll be a voice in the middle of a crisis. That we might be called Your friend. That this congregation might be full of Your power. Where the sick might be healed, that the lost might be saved. That people would long to run here to hear Your word spoken. And to fellowship with Your people. Let the sick be here today. Let the lost be here today. Let the brokenhearted be here today. And dear God, we pray and hit all that chaos head on. That they might be healed in all areas. Be with us, oh God, that Your power might be shown. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.